In the sun-drenched streets of Van Nuys, California, 9-year-old Patrice Khan Cullors watches helplessly as police officers shove her brothers against a wall, roughly patting them down while hurling threats and demanding identification. This scene, repeated countless times throughout her childhood, plants the seeds of what will eventually become one of the most significant social justice movements of our time. Growing up in a Section 8 apartment complex deliberately designed to be transient and lacking basic amenities, Patrice witnesses firsthand how America's systems criminalize Black bodies and minds. The stark contrast between her neighborhood and nearby Sherman Oaks reveals invisible boundaries enforced through redlining and discriminatory housing practices, creating what she describes as separate worlds existing side by side. Her mother, Charisse, works multiple jobs, often sleeping just 3 hours between shifts to support 4 children, while police presence dominates daily life with military-style tactics that target Black youth for simply existing in public spaces. "Please don't take me back," Patrice's brother Monty sobs, dropping to his knees with hands raised when police arrived during his mental health crisis. Years earlier, Monty had been arrested during a psychotic episode and disappeared for 2 months. When found at Twin Towers Detention Center, he was emaciated, 40 pounds lighter, and beaten. Though diagnosed with schizoaffective disorder, this information was withheld from his family. LA County sheriffs beat him for his illness, denied him water, restrained him, and drugged him, not to treat his condition, but to strip him of dignity. After a 6-year sentence, Monty was released wearing only a muscle shirt and boxer shorts, with shower shoes and a manila envelope containing discharge papers and medication. At home, he sat zombie-like while his son Chase tried desperately to connect with a father he'd never known. American prisons house over 10 times more severely mentally ill people than all state psychiatric hospitals combined, transforming health crises into criminal offenses. Cleveland High School's social justice curriculum introduces Patrice to radical thinkers who reshape her worldview: Emma Goldman, bell hooks, and Audre Lorde. This intellectual awakening leads her to question her Jehovah's Witness upbringing, challenging elders on scientific inconsistencies and the harmful practice of disfellowshipping. Watching male elders judge her hardworking single mother crystallizes her doubts about organized religion. At Brotherhood Sisterhood Social Justice Camp, her transition from student to activist begins as she connects with diverse young people confronting oppression. When an 18-year-old participant reveals his HIV status and resignation to an early death, Patrice witnesses the real consequences of societal prejudice. The Strategy Center becomes her political home, providing education that combines revolutionary theory with contemporary radical thought. Over a decade, she transforms it into a family space, bringing in friends and relatives, including her recently incarcerated father, creating a community of learning and activism that shapes her future work. Coming out as bisexual in high school, Patrice joins 20 girls of color claiming their queer identities, but this freedom brings constant harassment and threats. When her friend Carla is kicked out in 11th grade, they begin staying at friends' homes or sleeping in cars. Their art history teacher Donna Hill becomes their savior, letting them live with her rent-free and teaching Patrice what it means to receive a gift you can only properly show gratitude for by sharing with others. Years later, Patrice builds a relationship with Mark Anthony and a tiny Topanga Canyon cottage where she finally accepts that this blessed life was mine. They commit to each other in a beautiful ceremony with 200 guests, exchanging wooden rings and jumping the broom. But as Black Lives Matter grows, they drift apart despite their deep love. Later, Patrice meets Future, a BLM Toronto leader who responds with genuine joy when discovering Patrice is pregnant with another partner's child. Their relationship deepens into marriage in Malibu, and on March 22, 2016, their child Shine is born, their own Black Future. On July 13, 2013, the acquittal of Trayvon Martin's killer shatters Patrice. Weeping, she feels responsible for the younger Black women with her. Her friend Alicia Garza posts on Facebook about refusing to give up on Black lives, and Patrice responds with #BlackLivesMatter. With Opal Tomei, they develop the framework for what becomes a global movement. In Los Angeles, they march on Beverly Hills Rodeo Drive, bringing their message to wealthy white spaces. Their guiding principles focus on ending violence against Black bodies, celebrating differences, honoring trans leadership, affirming that all Black lives matter regardless of identity, and creating spaces free from sexism. The movement gains momentum after Michael Brown's murder in Ferguson. When images emerge of a young Black girl holding a Black Lives Matter sign while facing a tank, it becomes clear: a generation has been called to action. 600 organizers converge on Ferguson for a freedom ride, standing with local protesters against military-grade weapons while creating spaces of healing for a community under siege. Despite their nonviolent approach, Black Lives Matter organizers face severe backlash. After the 2016 Dallas police shootings, conservative media labeled them terrorists for simply asserting Black Lives Matter, a painful irony for Patrice, who witnessed actual state terrorism through her brother's treatment in LA County Jail. A 2011 ACLU report documented 86 pages of abuses under Sheriff Baca: savage beatings, unprovoked tasing, broken bones, and sexual assault. These revelations inspired Patrice to create Stained, a multimedia performance featuring prisoner testimonies, live demonstrations of incarceration's psychological trauma, and recordings of her mother searching for Monty. With her friend Francesca, she founded the Coalition to End Sheriff Violence, advocating for civilian oversight. Their persistence led to the establishment of the first civilian oversight board in 2016, a historic victory creating an accountability blueprint. Meanwhile, the movement faced escalating dangers. Three Ferguson activists were found shot dead, and Alicia, Opal, and Patrice endured legal harassment through a lawsuit falsely claiming they instigated riots. "We are stardust," astrophysicist Neil deGrasse Tyson observes, "atoms traceable to exploded stars." This cosmic truth resonates with Patrice's understanding of her people's resilience and connection to something greater. She sees this celestial heritage in her hardworking mother, her father who battled addiction yet maintained his gentle spirit, and ancestors who endured slavery yet refused to accept the idea that their lives did not matter. Recognizing activism's toll, Patrice embraces self-care through workouts, nutritious meals, reduced travel, and daily prayer. She prioritizes family, creating space for her relationship with Future and time with their child Shine, whose innocence reveals new possibilities for joy. When confronting potential prejudices against her child, she defines real terrorism as systematic oppression, surveillance of Black bodies, trauma of solitary confinement, working multiple jobs yet facing food insecurity, and underfunded schools in Black neighborhoods. Freedom means collective liberation, the ongoing push for justice, human dignity, and peace. We are all stardust, connected across time and space, with a responsibility to fight for a world where everyone's light can shine.